Well, hey there, church. My name is Kendall, and I have the privilege of being a lead pastor here at The Crossing. And if you're a guest with us today, thank you so much for coming. It is my prayer for you and for myself that we'll have an encounter with God today, because here's the thing, God is here, and you're here. And so you might as well be here together. And so my invitation is press in, lean in, be fully present and aware of God in this moment together, because he has something to say and do in your life. All right, let's pray. And then we'll jump in. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are with us, and you're for us, and through the person of Jesus, you actually live within us. And we pray that right now you will open our eyes, that you will show us who you are in a deeper way, and then draw us toward your heart. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's an author named Peter Gregg who's written a book called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. What a perfect title, right? Because, you know, we all get weirded out by prayer. Anyway, in this book, he tells this story. He says, I was stranded in Chicago. All airplanes were grounded by the eruption of an Icelandic volcano, and I couldn't get home to England. I asked God how he wanted me to use this interruption. Several American friends had already been kind enough to invite me to stay. But as I prayed, I found myself thinking out a particular friend who lived 150 miles west in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, I'm in Chicago, I texted. Could I come crash on your couch? I didn't know that Joe had just received terrible news, nor that his worried wife had asked, who do you wish you had on your couch right now? Those had been her exact words, nor did I know that he had replied, I wish Pete was on my couch, but I know that's crazy because he's in England and he's never even been to our home. The prophet Malachi says that those who feared the Lord talked with each other and the Lord listened and heard. Sometimes, he says, God listens to our casual conversations and receives them as prayers. And within hours of Joe's throwaway line, I had materialized on his couch. Well, the past 21 days, we have been in a series called 21 Dangerous Prayers. We've been challenging one another to pray dangerous prayers. And this story of Peter Gregg's reminds me that God is actually listening when we pray. We're not just speaking words blindly into the air, but God is listening to the prayers that we utter to him. And the problem, of course, is that we rarely stop long enough to pray in the first place. And then when we do, we don't really ever get quiet enough to hear the whisper of God's voice. And so today, instead of talking about and teaching about prayer, I thought that it would be appropriate for us to actually spend some time praying together. Now, hold on for a second. Before you decide to skip this video and watch the next one because you don't want to do that, let me just challenge you for a second. Be with me for the next 20 or 25 minutes. Just try it, all right? Let's try this together, because when's the last time you set aside 25 minutes just to be with God, to stay aware of his presence, and to listen to his voice? When was the last time you did that? Maybe never, right? So my invitation is try it right now. Several years ago, we were in a spiritual disciplines and habits series, and I led our church through a guided prayer time, and it went pretty well. And so what I decided to do today is we recorded it. And so I want to invite you to come with me now and let's pray together. Good. Today, instead of just talking about a foundational habit, we're actually going to practice one. Okay. So I'm warning you up front. This is a different kind of a message than we usually have. All right. So instead of just teaching about a foundational habit, we're actually going to practice one. We're going to use a 500-year-old method of prayer known as the Examen, E-X-A-M-E-N, okay? And the Examen is a way of praying that's probably very different from what you're used to doing. I like it because it forces us, it guides us to kind of push away the distractions and focus in on what God is doing. So here's how it works. In an examine, in this kind of a prayer, what you're doing is you look for God by looking at how he has been at work in your life recently, say in the past day or the past week or the past month or the past year.
One pastor describes the examine as, quote, rummaging for God, unquote. All right, so you're kind of sorting through your life and you're finding, to your surprise and your delight and your relief, that Jesus is in your life, that he is there and he's leading and working and moving and healing and convicting and doing what only he can do. So there are five steps in the exam, and as we work through the five steps, I invite you to do everything you possibly can to be fully present. I don't know where you are, if you're sitting on the couch or sitting in your car or somewhere else, but turn your cell phone off, turn it off, vibrate. Find a place where you can be with, where we together can be with God over the next 20 or 30 minutes and where you cannot be distracted. Now here's the thing, we are not used to quiet, active reflection. And so as we do this, your mind is going to wander. And when it does, that's okay. No alarm bells. All right, simply notice it. Oh, my mind was wandering. I started thinking about something else. And then just return to being present to God. All right? Intentionally engage, even if this feels like a stretch, because, hey, it's an opportunity to grow. So let's start by focusing on God and who he is. Listen to Psalm 97, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. Over and over, Scripture tells us that our God is a God of infinite power and unimaginable wonder, and if we were to see him face to face, we would be terrified. And yet, that powerful, terrifying God comes to us and says, don't be afraid. Why? Because I love you. God is for us and God is with us, and in the person of Jesus, he can be in us. God is near. God is here right now, inviting us to be with him. And so, step one of the examine is very intentional and it's simple. It says, place yourself in God's presence. So do that right now. Wherever you are, just say, God, here I am. I am sitting in your presence. I'm aware that you are present to me, that you are here. Now listen to something else about God. This is Jesus' disciple John in 1 John 4. God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. Step one, place yourself in God's presence. Take a breath and be present to him. And let's pray this prayer out loud together. Gracious God, I believe that I am in your presence and that you are loving me. Jesus, I believe that at this moment, with whatever is going on in my life, I am in your presence and you are loving me without condition, without restriction, without limit. And so I choose in your grace to open my mind, my memory, my heart, my whole self to your life and your love. Place yourself in the presence of God. Step two, give thanks. Once we place ourselves in the presence of God, the best place to start is to begin to remember what He has done for us and to be grateful people. You can do this with your eyes open, your eyes closed. It might help to be sitting up straight, okay, not rigid, but not slouched. Take another deep breath. Listen to Scripture. This is James 1, verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God. What that means is that anything you have ever enjoyed, anything that ever made you laugh or filled you up or brought you joy, a gripping movie or an enthralling book, a good job, a fulfilling career, a great friendship, a loving spouse, your kids, your grandkids, anything wrapped in bacon, am I right? All that stuff, all those things are gifts that God has given us. So step two, give thanks. What are you grateful for? By the way, during this step, we're not necessarily counting our blessings so much as we are savoring them, all right? We're not making a list. We're kind of soaking in the good gifts of God and being grateful. So let's start with people. Who are the people you love and who love you? See their face in your mind. See them smile. Breathe in the love that God brings you through them. Take a moment right now to reflect and thank God for the people in your life. Now breathe in and breathe out. And since we're talking about the people in your life, choose right now whatever disagreements or arguments or tensions there are in those relationships. As you exhale, choose to set those things aside for now, to leave them in the hands of Jesus. Go ahead and reflect on that. As we continue to pray, be conscious of your hands. Maybe choose a gesture or a posture. I kind of like to sit and hold my hands upward as if to say, God, I'm ready to receive whatever it is that you have. So choose a gesture or a posture right now that will help you say, thank you, Lord, for my life and the people in it. Go ahead and do that right now. Thank God for the gift of faith, for the forgiveness and freedom that come through Christ, for the ways that Jesus has touched and healed you, for His presence that sustains you, for Jesus who has never given up on you and who never will. Take a moment to thank God for all that. Let's think some more about gratitude. What other gifts has God blessed you with? What are you really good at? What are your talents, your gifts and abilities? What are the supernatural gifts that God has given you? Where in your life, by the grace of God, where does the power of Jesus move through you into the lives of others? Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you're patient or compassionate or merciful or energetic or creative, or maybe you're a good friend or a good boss, or maybe you are an encourager. What are the gifts that God has given you name them in your mind, and then thank Him for the way He has made you and the way He uses you to touch others' lives, and acknowledge that all these gifts come from Him. Think about your gifts right now and thank God for them. Listen to this scripture from Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Did you catch the last part? He delights in every detail of their lives. You who follow Jesus, listen, God delights in you. He knows every detail of your life. He knows your struggles and sins, your joys and strengths and sorrows, your dreams and disappointment. He knows them all, and He delights in you. One of my favorite passages is Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Listen to what it says about God. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with His love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. This is truth, folks. God delights in you. Try to picture His delight and rest in this truth for a moment, right now. Now, we're still in step two, giving thanks, savoring, soaking in gratitude. After this little review we've done, after giving thanks, what is most alive in you? Don't think of what you ought to be grateful for, but what are you, in fact, deeply grateful for right now? We're going to take 30 seconds in quietness and give your gratitude to Jesus for the gifts for which you are especially grateful, for the things He has done, is doing, will do in your life. 30 seconds of gratitude. Let's reflect. Take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Lord, we are so grateful to You for Your many gifts. Keep our eyes open and alert. Step three and four. Step three, look back and reflect on the past few days, the past week, what's gone on over the past 7 days. And step four is then talk and listen to God about it. Make sense? Review the past few days or the past week, and then talk to God about it. Listen to what He might be saying. Listen first, though, to the voice of God in Isaiah 55. This is a great invitation. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Listen to Me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to Me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. So let's reflect and listen. Here's some questions to think about. What surprised you this week? What delighted you, made you smile? What frustrated you? Did you lose your temper? Were you fearful or defensive? Did you feel lonely? Were you anxious or uncertain? Think of a time in the past week when your feelings were especially intense. It could have been a good feeling, it might have been a bad feeling, but think of an intense feeling. Remember your week and remember what you felt. Take a moment, look at the questions on screen, and just reflect on the past few days. Of the positive feelings and experiences you've had over the past week, which is the strongest? Which one made the most lasting impression? What do you think Jesus might be telling you through that? Where might he be leading you in that? Spend a moment listening to his voice. Let's reflect. Now let's look at the other side. Let's look at what went wrong. And I don't want you to make a list. I don't want you to think about all the things that went wrong in the past week. Just notice maybe one or two at the most. Maybe you had a troubling encounter with a friend or a family member. Maybe there's something that you wish you hadn't said or hadn't done. Maybe there's something that you'd like to let go of. So acknowledge that. Don't leave it stuffed in the corner. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. It's there, so bring it out into the light and bring it before the Lord. Maybe you are ashamed. Maybe you're afraid. You can bring that to him. If you were at fault, then ask God for the forgiveness that comes through Jesus and commit to making it right. Ask him to transform your heart and make you more and more like himself. Let him receive your sin and sorrow and anger and fear. And then, as you confess that, as you give it to him in return, you receive his forgiveness and joy and peace and the presence that casts out fear. What went wrong? Just one or two things. Give them to God. Let's reflect. After reflecting on the past week, what went well, what didn't. Now we're just going to listen. Quiet your heart and go back to where we started. Be in the presence of Jesus. Right now, we're going to take a full minute. And like I said earlier, your mind may wander. That's okay. When you catch yourself wandering, just acknowledge it and bring yourself back. We're going to take a full minute to be still in the presence of Christ and wait with him. All right? So let's just be in the presence of God together. step 3 and 4 is reflect and then listen. Here's step 5. Look forward with hope. Look forward with hope. Tomorrow, or maybe for you, tonight, we'll be back at it, full steam. And so before you get engulfed in the rush, ask this question: where are you going with God this week? Where are you going with God this week? As you face the week ahead or the month ahead or the year ahead, is there anything that you want to hold on to from our time today? Maybe as we've reflected in just this brief amount of time, maybe God has spoken to you. And if He has, write it down. Write yourself a note. Is there something that you want to be especially conscious of? Ask yourself these questions. What has God been saying? How is He moving? Where is He taking me? What needs to change? Where do I need to be transformed? What do I need less of? What do I need more of? Ask Jesus for the grace to go there. How will you stay in the presence of Christ this week? Ask Him to help. And finally, ask this question of God right now: what one thing, Lord, do you want me to do this week? Where are you leading me in the week ahead? And then listen to what He has to say. Look forward right now. Let's reflect. Take a deep breath in and exhale. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A suggestion before we go: grab yourself a pen and paper and just write a note. Just take a couple more minutes and say, God, how are You speaking to me right now based on what we just did together? And there might be a word or a phrase or some direction that comes, but don't let it slip away. Just make a note. Take just a minute. As always, if there's any way that we can help you be with God, if there's any way we can help you take the next step in your journey, we would love to help you. That's why we're here. Let me pray this prayer, a blessing on you. It's a benediction from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time.